يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. ليعذب الله المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات ويتوب الله على المؤمنين والمؤمنات وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العظيم.
I thank you, So as I was, before I was going, I was looking through my old diary that I had, my phone diary. And through there, I looked at Abdullah Al-Faraj, and his name, his phone number that he had written himself. Well, 7 years ago, he was a student here, going to, from Saudi Arabia. He was a student who used to come to Masjid Al-Taqwa in Masjid, and he used to come from Masjid, and he used to be here, he used to come, and we made friends with him, because obvious, when a student is from Saudi Arabia, first is that you love, that the Rasulullah said, love the Arabs because I'm an Arab. So because of that, and another misfit is that he's close to Makkah and Medina, so you always want people over there in Makkah and Medina to make love for you. I used to obviously make friends with people like that. So I made friends, we made friends at that time. And so that time I had written his, he had written that actually in my diary, his name and his address. And I thought, hey, what happened for going to me to Saudi Arabia? Right now I'm. So I went for my whole journey to Makkah for 2.5 months. On Thursday, after the dars, in the last 10-15 minutes, somebody came in, he walked in, he said,
it's also the issue that his video card doesn't support a split.
I was thinking of you about two months ago when I was in Makkah and Medina. SubhanAllah, he said something very nice to me, and he used to come to dars and that, so he said something very nice to me, which made me very happy. The second thing he said, I wish Allah makes it true. The first thing he said was one of these things he said to me was that 6-7 years ago when he came, you talked about Surah Yasin and Surah Waqia. From then, it's my honor to read Surah Waqia and Surah Yasin. It made me very happy. And that makes me very happy. You know when after a person does a speech and somebody says, oh, Shaykh, you don't go to Bayan, go to Bayan. What does it do? No benefit. Today, entertainment. What it is when a person changes and his life changes, or he says something that I've acted upon something, that is the main thing. The person who speaks, he acts, and the people who listen, they listen to act upon something and learn something. So he said that. And the second thing he said is something that goes out from the heart, ikhlas, it has effect. It's sincere, so it has effect on the heart. So the second part, I wish Allah makes me a true mukhlis and make me that. Well, Allah brings the muhabbat. Right now, when we're downstairs, and Hafiz Mushfiq was meeting me, and Hafiz Mushfiq met him. Hafiz Mushfiq was surprised too, because at that time Hafiz Mushfiq was doing hijr here by me. And he made friends with him too. So he was surprised to see him here too. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's from Dammam, Saudi Arabia. He's, inshallah, he's a neurologist. He's a specialist in brains, and he's at St. Michael's Hospital right now. We're training. And inshallah, Allah make him means of khidmat for the deen. He's also Hafiz of the Holy Quran, mashallah. And Allah Allah make him a means of blessing for the deen of the Prophet and all of us. Inshallah, Hafiz Abdullah?
Yes.
Hafiz Doctor Abdullah. And I wrote Hafiz first, because Hafiz is greater than doctor, than any doctor. So you write Hafiz or Ali before when a person has that type. Understand? Like Hafiz Mushra and Akhanti Mushra. Hafiz Mushra. Understand?
Welcome.
ولا تجعل بيننا شقيا ولا مفرودا ولا محروما برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما جلس قوم مجلسا يذكرون الله تعالى فيه ويصلون على نبيهم الا حفته الملائكه ونزلت عليهم السكينه وذكرهم الله فيمن عنده. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم في نهايه الحديث الحديث الطويل: قوموا مغفور لكم. فنسال الله عز وجل ان يجعلنا من الذين يقال لهم في نهايه مجلسهم: قوموا مغفور لكم. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما جلس قوم المجلس لم يذكروا الله تعالى فيه ولم يصلوا على نبيهم الا قاموا عنه كما قاموا عن جبهة الحمار. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما جلس قوم المجلس لم يذكروا الله تعالى فيه ولم يصلوا على نبيهم الا كان عليهم حسرة وترة يوم القيامة. فخير ما نبدا به: نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد الاولين، اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد في الاخرين، اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد في الملأ الاعلى الى يوم الدين. Dear brothers and sisters, a brief translation of just mentioned. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentioned in the hadith, nobody sits with each other and they gather with each other, and they did not mention the name of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and they did not mention Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala in their majlis. This majlis will be, they will become Yawm Al-Qiyamah sad because of this majlis. So any majlis we start with saying La Ilaha Illallah and Allahumma salli wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I'm very grateful to Mawlana Zakariya and all the assistant for giving me this chance, for giving this simple lecture, a medical lecture. Inshallah, all of us will get benefit from this lecture. And before I start my lecture, as you have heard about the title of the lecture, the modern food and the modern disease, how they correlate with each other. How our food causing us our diseases that we are suffering from right now. If you remember years and years before, our grandparents, they weren't suffering from the disease that we are suffering from now. Neurological diseases, hypertension, diabetes, a lot of diseases we are facing nowadays. It wasn't at the time of our grandparents. So what? I'm going to focus on the food, why, and how our food correlates with these problems. And we're going to explain it, inshallah, in details. And we're going to go inside our body and see how our food, unfortunately, destroys our body and how it causes these diseases. But before I start, we have to sit the projector because a lot of pictures and a lot of things depends on the, a lot of things in the lecture depends on the projector. So would you give us 5 minutes, please, till we sit the lecture? It's the projector. Is it working?
Okay, no problem.
Sorry for the delay, and apologies for the sister that the projector downstairs is not working, but we're going to explain, and inshallah they will get better. Okay, so as I said, we're going to talk about how our food correlates with the disease we're suffering from nowadays. Before I would like to give just a brief introduction for the lecture, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say every day in his adhkar, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kasal wa su' al-kibar. So why he was saying su' al-kibar? So this is the meaning that Allah, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was always saying, oh Allah, protect me from the bad old age. Why the old age sometimes becomes bad? What we relate our food is just enjoy, isn't that so? So eat whatever you would like to eat, eat what time you'd like to eat, and don't care about anything, anyone who says anything. So just enjoy, 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 until when you're gonna enjoy. You're gonna enjoy for 30 to 40 years if you neglected yourself, and then at the end of your life, you'll start to suffer from the complications of your neglection. And why is that? Because at the beginning of the 30 to 40 years of your life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the power so that our body defends these bad things that we take, and so that we become independent on ourselves. We don't depend on the others. However, when we become the 50s to 60s, this power starts to decrease. And if you are neglecting yourselves now, your body starts to suffer. So this is the su' al-kibar. When you become, stroked, now you're paralyzed, you cannot walk anymore, you cannot depend on yourself. Now you're diabetic, you have to take your medications, you're hypertensive, you have to take care not to eat salt and other specific foods. Now you are suffering blindness because of the complications of diabetes. So now this is su' al-kibar. This is what the Prophet Muhammad was always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from. This is the bad thing. This is the first thing. And then the second thing, our ulama used to say, مَاجَعَ فَقِيرْ إِلَّا بِتُخْمَةْ غَنِي. What does this mean? There is no poor man suffering from hunger except there is another man who is eating so much or eating beyond his need. Okay, so, and we can see this internationally. The first and the second world countries are suffering from diseases that correlate with excessive food, like what? Like diabetes, like hypertension, like cancer, and other diseases. When we see Africa, they're suffering from diseases of malnutrition because of lack of food. So there is an imbalance. The first world countries are suffering from excessive food diseases. The third world countries are suffering from lack of food, malnutrition. We can see here, this map proves what we're saying. Now focus with me. See, let's start with Canada. How much is the prevalence for diabetes? This is in 2000, this prevalence was made. In Canada, more than 150 to 500 million suffering from disease. 5 million are suffering from diabetes. This is in Canada. What about in the USA? More than 500 million suffering from diabetes. And the second world countries and the Gulf countries, it is a little bit less, but almost the same. Millions suffering from diabetes. Now let's go to Africa. See, the color of Africa is much lighter. The yellow and the other color, how much? 5,000. So compare Africa to here. Here 5,000, here 5 million. You got the message? So this part of the world, this part of the world are dying from excessive food. This part of the world is dying because of lack of food. So if this part of the world donated their excessive food to this part, then both, then the whole world will be balanced. Get the message? So this is the first point. Next, please. In 2030, they are expecting the rate to be much, much higher. We can see it in the percentages. Please, the next one. The percentage you can see. In 2000, in the USA, the percentage of diabetic patients are 20%. In 2030, they expect to increase to 33%. In Europe, the same will increase. In the Middle East, it will increase very much. In Africa, it's just 7%. And they might expect it to raise until 18. This is the maximum thing that they will expect it. Why? Because there is lack of food here. And this person, mostly for those who are rich, but others who suffer from hunger, how could they get diabetes and they don't have food? Diabetes merely translate high sugar level. So how can they get diabetes if they don't have enough sugar? So this is the first point. So they expect by 2025 or 2030, the number to be over 380 million in the whole world. So when you divide this by upon the whole world, next bit. First, you can see this is the whole population, the whole earth. Next. Okay. So if you divide the number of diabetics, it means that 20% of the whole earth will be diabetic in 2030-2025. Okay, these are the objectives we're going to cover today, inshallah. Okay, next.
Can you forget here?
Okay, now the first question, why do we eat food before we start with the disease? Why do we eat food? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the food and created us that we depend on food. We cannot live without it. our energy, our activities depend and relate to the food. We cannot live without it. And this energy is mainly two parts of your body needs it. The first thing, they call it the basal metabolic rate. This is the amount of energy your internal organs need it to function. Your brain, your heart, your spinal cord, your abdomen, your stomach, all of these need specific amounts of calories or energy so that it functions. Okay? And then you have the other 40%, you need it so that you can do your daily activities. Now, so we said 60% is for your internal organs. So whatever meal you're going to take, 60% will go to your internal organs to function. The other 40%, you should consume it by yourself. Now, if you neglected this 40% for years and years and years, it is excessively... you're taking it excessively and it is depositing inside your body, it's going to damage and kill you. It's going to damage you and kill you. And we're going to prove it, and how the modern science, the modern medicine have proved this, how this excessive calories destroy our body. Okay, now, so first of all, to get energy, and we've mentioned the calorie. So what is calorie? Calorie simply is the measurement of the energy. So we don't need to confuse ourselves. Calorie simply is the measurement for the energy you need. So for example, if you've eaten 2,000 calories in one meal, then 60% of these calories will go to your internal organs. The 40% you have to consume, you have to burn it by yourself. Okay? So this is the simple definition of calorie, because we're going to use it a lot. And the lecture, calorie. So keep it in mind. Calorie, what does it mean? It means the energy or the unit of the energy that we need. And there is a scientific definition for, but we don't need to go. Anyone wants to know more about it, he can read it by his own. Okay, now how much calorie we need per day? Focus with me. These tables are a little bit confused. I don't want you to confuse. Simply, the calorie we need per day depends on four things. Focus with me, please. Depends on the age of the person, depends on the gender of the person, it depends on the height and the weight. So each one has different calories he needs. And depends on how much the activity do you do per day. So let's take an ideal just example so that we keep a specific number in our mind to compare it to how much we consume per day. So we're going to say the example is a man, okay? This is this table for males and this one for females. So a man from 19 to 30 years old, okay? With the average weight, 70 to an average height. And his activities is sedentary life activities, because most of us every day are sedentary life activities, which means we lack exercise. So it is from around 2,500. So put this number in your mind. So how much calorie do we need per day? Just I would like you to put in your mind 2,000 to 2,500. This is the rate that I want you to put in your mind. And let's compare it to how much we consume. Next, please. Okay, this is the formula, how they calculate how much calories we need per day. And we're not going to go through it. Just anyone wants to go to further details. There are specific formulas, one of them called Harris-Benedict equation. This one is the most accurate equation, they call it Smithin, the Stewart-Geur equation. And there's the WHO equation, but the previous one is more accurate. Okay, now we've mentioned that the calories we eat, we needed around 2,000 to 2,500, okay? Now, I know most of us, when we see this diagram, come on, don't be silly. This is for elementary school, this is for children, there's a... Why you brought this picture and they were explaining this. This is very important. This was designed since 1974. So since 1974 was designed, and unfortunately nobody is following this, and even nobody understands. It's very important. It's very important. And why is that? Focus with me. I've mentioned we have to consume 2,000 to 2,500 per day, right? Okay. Whatever, anything you eat from here will give you calories, 2,000 to 2,500. But they put this kind of food in the bottom of the pyramid, okay? And why they put this? Because this is the most thing you have to consume per day.
Why? Because beans has a lot of fibers, a lot of antioxidants. And what are the benefits of these antioxidants and the fibers? They are anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, anti-hypertensive, and anti a lot of diseases. They guard against these diseases. So they put it in the bottom so that you eat more. Okay. Now, what about on the top of the pyramid? These kind of foods, sweets, red meat, cheese, you have to consume it in a little amount. Okay? Why? Because these, they cause diabetes, hypertension, cancer, other than we're gonna prove how they do it. Okay? Now, what is the problem is nobody's following this. And nobody understands what is it. Next, please. This is what we follow, unfortunately. Okay? This is unfortunately what we follow. So they call it the reverse food pyramid. They put the red meat on the top with the cheese, with the sweets. So these are the most things I've consumed per day. This is most consumed. Okay. And what about the fruits and the vegetables and the whole grain fibers? They should be eaten more. No. We put it on the top, so we are eating it less. So logically, we're going to have these diseases. Logically. If there's no conflict, if you follow this for 30 years, 40 years, you're going to have diabetes, hypertension. I mean, logically, you're going to have it. Why? Because these things, the ones that cause these diseases, and we are consuming them more. Okay? Okay. So, simply, when you follow this food pyramid for 30 years, so we usually start from 10, 20 years maximum to follow this food, because below 10 years, we're kids, and our parents try to give us healthy food. From 10 years, we start following this. So for 30 years, so at 40 years old, we start to have diabetes, hypertension, and these diseases. Isn't that so? Now what about, go back please. Now what about our grandparents? Have we ever heard about our grandparents 40 years old having these diseases? Never. They were 40 years old and they were very active. Sahaba, they were 60, 70, and they were fighting. Isn't that so? So, but if you follow this food, or this pyramid, for 30 years, 40 years, with the protections and the sunnah that the Prophet Muhammad was describing, bi-idhnillah, you're going to be protected from these diseases. Why? Because these has a lot of antioxidants and a lot of things that protect against disease. And we're going to see and we're going to prove. Okay, next. Okay, now the question is, keep it. How much calories do we consume per day? We said that ideally from 2000 to 2500, according to our age, according to our gender, and according to the activities. This is the main thing, the activities that we perform per day. Now let's see how much do we consume per day. Suppose any one of us woke up in the early morning, and he left his house without taking any breakfast, and he wants to go home to go to his work. Before he goes to his work, he needs to have some food so that he become active and his mood becomes better. So let's say he was walking and he faced Dunkin' Donuts on his face and he would like to have some breakfast. Okay, now let's say he took one piece of cookies. How many calories in this piece of cookies, this far amount, this size? Approximately. Anyone knows, please? Come on, I need participation. I need participation, please. Anyone knows, please?
300 calories?
Around 300. More. 500. Yes, exactly. 500. It's only this piece of cookies. Okay, but this is not enough. Isn't that so? We eat with it another piece of donut. How much is the other piece of donut?
500.
Again, excellent. 500. So, 1,000. And then we drink usually with it coffee. But what kind of coffee? Is it regular coffee? What do you like? Regular coffee or is they call it, I don't know, with milk or they go with other hot chocolate or so? Which one you prefer? Okay, with milk. With milk, so 200. So totally, the breakfast only 1,200. If you're gonna drink regular coffee, there is no calories in the coffee. But if we add the sugar, there will be calories. Okay. So now you 6 or 7 or let's say 8 a.m. You've eaten 1,200 calories.
Calculate with me, please. Focus with me. Now, this is the breakfast. Now, it is 2 p.m. You're hungry again. Okay? You want to have some food. Let's say you went out in the lunch break and you faced, let's say, Burger King. Okay. Now, you're going to take double water with cheese. Without cheese, there is no taste. Not taste. So we have to take cheese with it. So, double water with cheese. Anyone knows how much calories?
1,000.
Exactly. 900 to 1,000. Very good. Excellent. Thank you. So this is only the burger. What about the French fries, the king size French fries? How much? Well, the regular size is 400. The big size, I think, 500 to 600. You're correct. So now 1,500 is only the burger and the French fries. But you have to drink Pepsi with it. So the king size, how much calories with this Pepsi? The regular size, this can of Pepsi is 200. So king size maybe 400, minimum 400. Okay. So totally now, how much? 1,000 the breakfast, and 1,500. How much? 1,000. No, we said 1,000. 1,000 for the burger and 2,000. 2,300. We haven't added any sweets yet.
Yes.
And we haven't added the dinner yet. There's only the lunch and the breakfast. Okay, now let's say the dinner. Suppose you went to now Arabic restaurant and you're going to take one shawarma and one falafel. And of course one Pepsi, that is necessary. Basically. Okay, so one falafel, how much? And please, come on. No, come on, that's 1,000. It's a small piece of shawarma. It's 300. Thank you, 300. And sandwich of falafel. Again, 300. Approximately. With Pepsi, but now just small size. 200. So 600 with 800. And the previous calories, 2,000. 3,000, sorry. With this 800, 3,000. How much we should eat? 2,500. How much is excessive? Around 1,500 or more, right? This is excessive. Okay, now if you're gonna burn this with exercise, it's another issue. It's less dangerous. It's still dangerous even if you burn it. But the problem is that we don't even burn it. We eat and then we go to sleep.
Yes.
The maximum thing we eat, pray this witr, one rak'ah, then go to sleep. This maximum exercise we're doing. This is a big, big problem. Okay? Now let's say the next day you didn't do this these things. You went, let's say, for Starbucks and this again the same numbers around. We're gonna see them. Okay? So Starbucks, the same numbers. And then let's say the lunch you went for Pizza Hut, let's say. You know how much one slice of pizza, how many calories it has? One slice of pizza only. Okay. No. One slice.
800.
800. Approximately. 700. Only one slice. But we don't Pizza Hut. Come on, one slice, nothing. Three, four slices. So three. Let's say minimum three slices from Pizza Hut by 700, 2,100. This is only the pizza. Three slices with the French fries. Add 400, 2,500, 2,600. With Pepsi, it will reach 3,000. Only the lunch. Without sweets, without anything else. So logically, we're going to have these diseases, guys, right? Logically, no doubt that we're suffering from diabetes, hypertension, cancers, and our brothers in Somalia and other parts of Africa dying of malnutrition. Logically, there is no doubt. Now let's see these numbers, how they have... Okay, now this is Dunkin' Donuts. This is one cookie, 540, actually, I said 500. Another type of cookie, 480. Another kind of food, 300, 500, 600. See the numbers? It's Dunkin' Donut. And everything I mentioned with reference. Because I know when you argue with someone else, he said, don't mention these things from your mind, right? So you have to be referenced. So here is the reference. See? This is a defined website. You can go back and see it. Every fast food is written with the calories it has. Okay, now it's the Burger King. You see? 900, 500, 1,000. This is only burger. You can see, type of burger. Burger, this is double whopper, 900, 1,000. It's only the burger, not the French fries, not the Pepsi. Okay?
Okay.
The Arabic sandwiches. Okay? And this is shawarma, 340, 300. This is another 300. So, until now, is there any conflict from the disease that we have and what we eat? So, they are going with each other, right? What we are eating and what we are getting, they are going with each other. There is no conflict until now. Okay. Now, Hardee's, approximately same, 900, 300, 580. These are all in the burgers, guys. Okay, Chili's the same, 700, 600. Okay, Dairy Queen is one burger and Dairy Queen 1,000. Okay, the pizza you see? See, focus with me. One slice of pizza, this is one out of four, 700 one. One slice. Okay? Other thing, the same, 600. This is a different type of pizza. But most pizzas are around around 700. Okay, now let's see. This needs its own lecture. This big trouble needs its own lecture. Now we are focusing only on these things. This sugar. Now we're focusing only on the sugar. But Pepsi has sugar, has caffeine, has colors, added colors, has something called phosphate that absorbs the calcium and causes osteoporosis. Now we're suffering from osteoporosis from the childhood and from the adulthood. Come on. Our grandparents, they were very strong in their 50s and their 60s. And now from 20, he has this weak bones. And from 40 to 50s, now it started the osteoporosis and the fractures from minor traumas. So now, regarding the Pepsi, we're going to consider only the sugars, okay? Not the other things, because it needs its own lecture. Okay, this is another type of food. I brought this because usually we eat in Saudi Arabia this, they call it kabsa. Anyone is from Saudi? From the Middle East? Anyone? MashaAllah. So this, we call it kabsa. This is 2,400. Because it's mainly fat.
This could be
mainly this. I think they do it also in India or I'm not sure. This, but not for one person, for three persons. So when you divide it by three, we are around 800. So seven problem subjects with the fast food. Don't blame just the fast food. It is excessive food. Okay, excessive food. With the bad style that we do. Okay, this is the roasted. Also, I think it's available here, right? Available? This one piece is 500. Just this piece. Not the whole chicken. Just this piece. How they cook this? They just put it inside.
Deeply
fried. Exactly. So it absorbs these fats. So just this piece is 500. Just this piece. But the whole chicken, I think it will be around 2,000. I think so.
Not sure.
So, okay. So this is how to calculate. So if anyone is in doubt, because he will think that this is, I'm exaggerating about these numbers, he can calculate it number by number, okay? Because I know, when we see these numbers, and then some of us become afraid, some of them will start to argue, so everything is reference, and everything you can do it by yourself. Okay, this is the same, it's back, next. Okay, the same Arabic sandwiches, the same numbers, next. These are the sweets, this is apple pie. One apple pie is 400. So, we calculated only the three meals, right? And we mentioned that it is 3,000 to 3,500, right? Without sweets. So if you ate just two pieces of apple pie per day, just two pieces, okay, 800. So add 3,000 to this 800, 3,800. Okay, this is one day. And we do this years and years, and we're gonna see how in years how it kills us. Okay, what else here? Here this is Snickers and the product of Snickers and Mars and other Kit Kat and other kind of. While I was preparing for the lecture, these kind of sweets, the problem is not just with the high calories. There is a new recent studies. I've just heard about it. They're saying that sugar addiction
There are some recent studies, they're proving that eating excessive sugar for a long time stimulates specific receptors in your brain. They call it, the endogenous opioids, the morphine. This morphine and opioids give you pleasure. So with time, when you eat sugars for a long time, with excessive amount, your brain and your morphines will depend on these sugars. So later on, you will not have pleasure without these sweets. So we can notice it nowadays. When we are in the office, coffee and Snickers, right? Coffee and Kit Kat. Without them, your mood's bad. You need these three. Why? Because of the sugar addiction. This study was published in one famous journal. They call it Nature. This journal is one of the strongest journals in medicine. Anyone publishes a study in Nature, he's almost to get a Nobel Prize. This study was published in Nature, the sugar addiction. So how dangerous is this? So, okay, but this, again, I read it just quickly. So, next please. Okay, the previous ones, that we are eating excessively from which food pyramid? The reverse food pyramid. Okay? These things were from the reverse food pyramid. The diseasing pyramid. Okay? Now, this is in Arabic, sorry. Vegetables. Okay? Vegetables, let's see how many calories. Compare it with the calories that we've just seen. 50, 25, 60, 100. Have we seen these numbers before? No. So these numbers and the food, the healthy food pyramid. Okay, this was the main food of Prophet. Was the main food of Prophet? Dates and water. The dates is part of the fruits. So this is vegetables. Go next, please. This is the fruits.
50, 37, 180.
So compare these numbers with the previous. So the previous food were killing us. Okay, these foods are the. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these foods for us to give us a healthy life. But we don't like these foods. We don't like them. I don't like these foods. Come on, for children. Anyone accept to eat a plate of salad on the lunch? No. Should be red meat with rice. Or should be. So no doubt of this disease that we're having right now. Okay? Okay. Now, these brief slides, just to prove that that we are doing the problem, that we are the ones who are taking these things excessively. Okay. Now I think all of us admit this thing that we have bad style, we have bad food, and we have lack of exercise. And if you add on smoking on these things, and if you add alcohol on these things, then this is a disaster on a disaster. Okay. Okay. Now we can see and go inside our body how these calories destroy us. How these excessive calories destroy us. Okay, now we're gonna go step by step. So focus with me, please. Okay, now focus. We're gonna talk about the dangerous excessive amount of fat. Okay, and then after the fat, the sugars. Then after the sugars, the proteins. Okay, so one by one, because these are the kind of foods that we have to eat every day. Okay, so we're going to start with the fats. Next, please. Okay, the first thing, of course, obesity. We don't see this kind of obesity before 10 years, 30, 40, 50 years ago, right? Okay, you see this obesity with which restaurants? Anyway, next, please. Again, the same thing. Okay, next. Okay, now the cardiovascular, very important. How fat destroys the heart. Next, please. Next. Okay, focus with me. This is a young girl. We remove the skin from her, and we're seeing the blood vessels inside her body. Okay? Focus with me. Now, if you take a piece of this blood vessel, one part of the blood vessel, and we enlarge it, we're going to see this picture. Okay? There's another picture much clearer. This blood vessel is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. See how much is beautiful, how much is healthy and perfect. Okay? The blood is going through it, moving smoothly, no problem. And this thing, they call it the wall of the blood vessel. It's very important to be healthy. Okay, now the excessive fat. Now we're talking about the fat, right? Excessive fat. Now the excessive fat we eat, what our body deals with it, it takes it to the abdomen to make fat, to make adipose cells, they call it, adipose tissue. Okay, so that anyone eats more fat, they become obese, they become overweight, right? Okay, but the problem is that we eat fat that our body even cannot, there's, let's say, you eating 1,000 calories of fat, your body maximally can convert these 1,500 of them, can convert it to a fat around your abdomen, okay? What about the excess of 500? Where are they going to go is very important. You know where they're going to go? Some part of it will go over here on the blood vessel. And again, deposit on the blood vessel, on the wall of the blood vessel. You can see here, this is the excess of fat. It deposits on the wall of the blood vessel. And what's the problem of this? The problem of this is that the blood that should go, for example, to your heart, will be this. Why is that? Because you see the diameter here, this is the full diameter of what created. But the problem is that the fat now deposited here, so that now the blood vessel becomes smaller. So this amount goes. Okay. Now, if it blocks only 50%, you have no symptoms. Your body can't deal with this 50%. Okay? There is no symptoms until now. Okay. If 75% of this opening or the lumen of the blood vessel was blocked with these fat, this sets the stage of something called, if it was in the heart, angina. Have you heard about this? Yes. This is angina. Simply. Lack of blood to the heart because of these things. Also, of course, other diseases, genetic diseases, but we're considering now the food. Okay? This sets the stage of angina. It's more than 75%. Okay? Okay, good. Now, what about with time, this will become hard, the wall, because of the fat. And once it becomes more hard, the flow of the blood vessel is high pressure, so it might destruct this wall. Once it is destructed, there is something called platelet. Have you heard about these kind of cells? These platelets block any damaged vessel. If you got wound, with time, the bleeding stops, right? What stops this bleeding is a platelet, okay? So, if this damage was internally, the platelet doesn't differentiate whether the blood vessel was damaged externally, so you see it, or internally. So the platelet thinks that there is a wound here. I have to stop this wound. So it goes and blocks the whole blood vessel. Once it blocks the whole blood vessel in the heart, this is cardiac attack, heart attack. Or myocardial infarction, they call it. If it was in the brain, what they call it?
Stroke.
Exactly. Thank you. Stroke. So we're killing ourselves. You see? So don't say, why are we getting these diseases? Why are you... So now we're going step by step, and every step is logical. Next, please. Okay, this is another picture. These cells are the red blood cells that carry the oxygen and the food. Okay, they flow with pressure on the blood vessel. This is the healthy one. Okay, you see, this is the fat. This is the excess of fat. Okay, now there are symptoms. There's more than 75%. Okay, so this is a stage of angina. Okay. Here, it is damaged by a high blood flow, so it is blocked by the platelets. This is stroke or heart attack. And what is this? Fat. Who does this? Fat. Okay? Who brought this fat? Yeah, you. We do it. We brought this fat. Okay, next please. Okay, so this is another example. So here is the blood going, okay? And until now, there's no symptoms. Now there's more blocking, and then it's damaged. Now it's complete block. You can see it here. This part of the heart is what? Black. Okay, what does it mean? It died. It died. So this part of the heart is dead now. Okay, once it is dead, it's called myocardial infarction, and they call it also heart attack. Okay, so with time, the patient, because of this dead tissue in the heart cannot function properly. So this is the patient can have what they call it heart failure. Anyone who saw a patient with heart failure? Their life is disaster, unfortunately. Patient with heart failure. Okay? The heart has two sides. They call it right heart and left heart side. If this damage was in the right side of your heart, okay, they call it right heart failure. Okay? Now the problem if it was in the right side, the one that's responsible to, with the communication with the lung is the right side, okay? That pumps the blood to the lung is the right side. So another problem that the blood again is cannot be pumped by the heart, so it will go back to the lung, okay? And it will fill the lung with water. Anyone knows what is the medical term of this?
Pneumonia?
No. Pneumonia is inflammation. Thank you. They call it pulmonary edema. Pulmonary edema simply is water in the lung. Okay? And why is this water? Because the heart is not functioning properly. Okay? Okay. This patient dies every second. As exactly if you have taken any person and put him inside of water and he cannot breathe. Because he cannot breathe also. Because simply his lungs are filled with water. As you have just taken someone inside a bath or inside a sea. Okay? He cannot breathe. So if you see this patient, you think if he dies, it's much easier for him than living this life. What we usually do in the hospital when we receive these patients, we give them massive diuretics. What is diuretics? To urinate more and more so that all these excessive amount of water goes out with his urine. Okay? So, but of course, these diuretics has their own side effects. So he is going to take these diuretics for a long time. Okay, the left side was failed because of these fats. Then the patient will have the left side of the heart failure, and he can't pump enough blood for his whole body. So he'll become weak. So when you see patient with heart failure, you see him what? Just the skin on a bone. It's very very thin, very weak. Why? Because there's no enough blood for his body, because the heart failed. Clear so far?
Yes.
Okay. Next, please. And how who damages these things? Allah created them wonderfully, and we damage them. Clear so far? Allah created them wonderfully, and we damage them. Okay. I love this picture. SubhanAllah, a lot of secrets are inside the brain until now not discovered. So many things are so beautiful inside the brain. Okay? For example, now I'm standing and I'm speaking and I'm walking, I'm moving my hands. Every single thing I'm doing is mapped on the brain. The one that's responsible is the brain. There's one part in the brain that's responsible for any movement you do. For example, blinking your eye. You see me and you blink your eye. There's one part of the brain is responsible. You're walking, one side is responsible. Any movement you do, one part of the brain is responsible. Anyone can come and point which area of the brain is responsible for movement? Come on, guys. We're Muslims, we have to be educated.
Water.
Yeah, water. Where is it? Primary. Yes, you're correct. Primary motor here, this one. So simply there's a specific blood vessel that comes to this area of the brain. If you block it, you become paralyzed. Very simple. This is the one responsible for every movement in your body. If the blood vessel was blocked, and we block it by ourselves, by our style, okay, you cannot move anymore. So this is simply stroke. Okay? Okay, let's see this area. This area is, subhanAllah, a thumbprint from Allah that we are created by Allah. Why? Because this is, if it's damaged, nobody in the whole world can regenerate. It is very, very important and responsible for a very important thing. This area is the one responsible for speech. Now I'm talking and I'm talking and I'm talking. Okay? Without this area, you cannot talk anymore. Without this area, you cannot talk at all. Okay?
Let's take an example. Mawlana Zakaria is a good speaker. He's alhamdulillah good habib. Okay? Okay, let's say an example. We took Mawlana Zakaria, we opened his brain, opened his head. Now we are inside his brain, okay? And now we are inside the Broca's area. One specific artery is responsible to supply this area. And let's say we blocked this artery of Mawlana Zakaria. He cannot speak anymore. He cannot read the Quran anymore. He cannot, I mean, lead us. So we are nothing without Allah. We are nothing without Allah. And who made this? See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran this area specifically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Rahman, ماذا? عَلَّمَهُ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. What's the bayan, Mawlana Zakaria? Speaking. Yes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Who taught the human beings speech and this? Allah. This is specifically by Allah. If it was damaged, you can't speak anymore. And someone will say, if it is damaged, I will try to write. And I'll try to do signals. You can't do it anymore. Because it's not just responsible for talking, it's responsible for expression, for communication with the others. So we hear some of our friends, parents, whatever, he got struck, then he cannot talk anymore. Why is that? Simply because this is dead. This area is dead. And nobody in the whole world can regenerate it except Allah. You see? There is new things coming right now. They call it stem cells. Have you ever heard about it?
Yeah,
stem cells.
They're hoping in the future, and inshallah, I'm planning to specialize in this. I'm your surgeon and I'm planning to specialize in these stem cells. Why is that? They're hoping for the future, the stem cells, we can direct them to generate new neurons. So for example, if you've got an RTA or a traffic accident and your spinal cord was cut, then you cannot move your limbs anymore, right? You cannot walk anymore, okay? They're now planning and they're doing a lot of research so that they direct these stem cells to produce neurons so that they can implant them in your spinal cord, you can't walk again. I've seen some studies, it was successful on animals. They're trying to do it on human beings now. Okay? Now, let's say this example. Can we do this on the Broca's area? Let's say this Broca's area is dead. Okay? And we produced new neurons. And we implanted them here. These new neurons are empty. They don't have vocabulary. They don't have grammar. They don't have, right? So everything, subhanAllah, you have about the languages. So even if we regenerated new neurons, you have to study the language from the beginning. See? Now let's see these articles. Next, please. This is another picture. This is another picture. These are the arteries that we're talking about. Okay? See this artery, they call it the middle cerebral artery. This artery is responsible to supply this whole area. Okay? This area, Broca's area, premotor cortex, precentral cortex, here is the primary somatic cortex. This is responsible for all sensation. Okay? This one is responsible for your thinking, for your planning, for your personality, for this is the one, the frontal loop, they call it. The one on the occipital loop, the exterior one, is responsible for your vision. If you lose it, you can't see anymore. Okay? This area is supplied by one artery, they call it middle cerebral artery. Each one has different branch. Each area has specific supply. Okay, now remind me at the end of the lecture to mention something about the frontal loop. Okay? And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned it in the Quran.
Next, please.
Okay. Just a second, go back. Now, we've seen how these fat deposits. Now, we're going to go inside our body. Would you like to see it? By video. This is, we go inside our body and see the heart and the blood vessels and how this happens step by step. Okay, let's see it.
Is there an internet?
Yeah, that's true.
Do you want to talk to me? It's not working, unfortunately. Okay, we hope we're going to see it at the end of the lecture. We're going to go back to the lecture. Actually, this is so wonderful.
Thanks to Ahmad and after all the advanced technology, that video was designed to see how the heart functions, how it beats, and then it goes inside the blood vessels, and how this fat deposits. It's really, really wonderful. I hope to...
Okay, so we stopped here, right? I hope the video will work. I hope so. Inshallah, it will work. Okay, now we mentioned the fat and how it does the stroke and the heart failure, the infarction, right? Okay, it also does cancer. And how does this happen? Okay,
this is recent and very important. This is the reference. Anyone wants to make sure about it? Anyone knows how is the pathophysiology of tumor, how it grows? Anyone know? Okay. Simply, when you have a cut wound or anything, any wound, your cells start to divide to close this wound. Okay? Once the wound is closed, they stop dividing. Okay? Very important. The wound is closed, they stop dividing. So they divide for limits. They don't divide forever. Here's cancer simply divides forever. Divides until it makes that mass. Okay? So this mass has been resected surgically. And some kind of tumors are benign, okay? That they grow only on the diseased area. Some other tumors are cancer, malignant. So they grow, and they destruct the tissue, and they destruct the blood vessel, and then they go
through the blood. They call it, at this stage, metastasis. So it's metastasized to the whole body. These cells, when they go to the brain, they cause a tumor. When they go to the abdomen, they cause abdominal tumors. When it goes to the neck, it causes a neck tumor. So this is the physiology of cancer. Okay. Now, this division is done by something called cell cycle. Now I'm going to mention why I've mentioned cell cycle. It's very important. Please concentrate with us, please. So this is a cell. It wants to divide to two cells for any reason. Okay? It goes to a cell cycle. Every stage, it does a specific thing. In G1, it grows. You see, it is large. In this, the DNA. You know the DNA? DNA. Come on, guys. You know DNA? DNA. DNA. What's DNA? Thank you very much. So this is the what is inside the nucleus of this the DNA. Okay, the DNA also must be duplicated and must be divided with the cell division. Okay, so now the DNA is duplicated in two parts, and then it goes and forms two cells. Okay, now where's cancer? Here, between R and S, there is a specific gene, they call it P53 gene, okay? This gene is the one responsible for limiting the cell growth, okay? So if there's no need for a cell to grow and divide, this gene starts and stops this cell division, okay? So it stops the cell cycle, so it prevents excessive growth. It prevents what? Cancer. Okay. Now, what about if there is no this gene is absent? This cell will going to grow, and cause tumor. Okay. This link study proved that excessive fat damages this gene. So, to grow, cause tumor. What kind of tumor? This gene is mostly responsible for breast cancer and prostate cancer in men. So prostate cancer, breast cancer, very important upon them is the P53 gene. Of course, P53, don't confuse, has a lot of other causes, not just fat. There are some genetic causes, genetic diseases, but we're concerned, again, the food. Okay? So does food correlate with the disease that we're developing? Yes. Sure. Definitely. Okay? Definitely. It correlates. Okay? So we've proven, first of all, the stroke and heart attack, and now we're improving the cancer. Okay? And here's the reference to make sure.
Next, please.
Okay. All the previous part was only the fat. Okay? Now we're going to go to the sugar. And remember the recent studies that I told you at the beginning, there is something new called sugar addiction. Okay? So this is another thing, sugar addiction. Now, not just the problems that we're going to see, also sugar addiction. So when you eat sugar, you're going to be addict, you're going to put yourself at more risk to develop these things. Okay, next, please. Next. Okay. This is, what organ is this organ?
Stomach.
So this is food. Let's say this is sugar. So you've eaten this sugar. Then your intestine absorbs it to the blood vessel, and it goes to the blood to supply your organs. All your organs need sugar. But the problem, we eat a lot of sugar. Okay? Here is something called... What is this? Pancreas. Very smart organ. Once the blood sugar is high, it secretes a specific hormone. Anyone knows it? Insulin. So insulin goes to the blood, and normalize this blood sugar. How it does this? Very important. Next, please. Next. Again. Okay, this is very important. Here's the insulin, and here's the sugar. Okay? And here is the cell that's going to receive the excessive amount of sugar. Okay? So the insulin is secreted from the pancreas because you're eating a lot of sugar. Okay? It goes to a specific part on the cell. Okay? Something here called receptor, can read. Insulin receptor, very important, okay?
Now, what it does simply goes to this receptor, and this receptor becomes activated. This alarms the cell and makes the cell to understand that the blood sugar is high. We have to take it down. Okay? So you see now the receptor is active. Once it is active, it binds to the sugar to take it down, to normalize the blood sugar. So subhanAllah, these organs are smart. Allah created them. I know some of us, when we see these, come on, don't be silly. How can they see these things? The cell, we cannot see it. How can they see the receptor on a cell? Okay? We can improve it. Anyone here is diabetic? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. What is the first medication you received?
Metformin.
Thank you very much. Metformin. You know what's the mechanism of metformin? Metformin also, they call it glucophage. It simply, it has no role in insulin, metformin. Some of us understand that metformin is secreting more insulin. No. Metformin simply, when you eat a lot of sugar, a lot of insulin is secreted, right? So there will be more pressure on the receptors by the insulin. The receptors do not tolerate a lot of pressure. When there's a lot of pressure, they go down. They call a process called downregulation. So then there is no receptors on the cells. Okay? So suppose there's no cells, no receptors on the cell. What does this mean? It means there is no communication between the insulin and the cell. It means whatever insulin you secrete, the cell will not respond, right? Because the one responsible for communication is the receptor. So if you don't have a receptor, you're simply diabetic. Got it? Now, our brother said he takes metformin, okay? What metformin does? Simply, it takes the receptor up. Process called upregulation. So when the receptor goes up again, okay, there is a communication again from between the insulin and between the cell. So the blood sugar can be normalized again. So without this receptor, you're diabetic. Metformin is what? It does upregulation to take back this receptor. Okay? But of course, metformin is not like how Allah created these receptors. They don't perfect the process 100%. They perfect it maybe 50-70%. So at the end, the blood sugar means it's still going to be a little bit high. Okay. Now, if the blood sugar is higher than the normal average, it's going to do the same thing of the fat. It's going to deposit. It's going to convert to fat and deposit process called atherosclerosis. Have you heard about this? Process atherosclerosis, but it is more severe. It goes to every vessel inside your body. So they call the diabetes silent killer. Why they call it silent killer? Because it kills the patient piece by piece. So it goes to destroy the blood vessels on your toes, okay? So that these patients usually have wound that does not heal because there is no enough blood supply to your feet, okay? So, and then to the thighs, okay? This is only responsible for walking. So the patient says, doctor, I walk, then I feel pain, I have to rest. After I rest, the pain goes, I can walk again. Why? No enough blood supply. Why no enough blood supply? Because the atherosclerosis, the deposition of this sugar on the blood vessel, and then causes the same thing. Sorry, on the genitalia organ, sorry, it's called sexual dysfunction. And the abdomen causes something called gastroparesis. The patient says, doctor, I always feel nausea. I always feel I want to vomit after I take food. Why? Because the stomach is not contracting normally. Why? Because there is no enough blood supply to the stomach. The same thing on the heart. It blocks the heart failure and infarction. It blocks the brain, again, stroke. It blocks the vessel of the eye, blindness. So it's more severe diabetes, okay? So it does it piece by piece. The patient really suffers all his life. Why is that? Because he was neglecting and enjoying his 30 and 40 years of life. Now he has to suffer 30 years of his life. So this is just a simple equation. You enjoy and neglect 30, 40, you have to suffer 30. A simple equation, okay? Okay, now let's see the other complications. Okay. So this is, again, atherosclerosis.
Cool, there's also a video, I hope, to work, I hope.
Okay. This is the blood vessel, and this, these are the nerves, okay? Usually diabetic patients, they feel after maybe 5 to 10 years of their diagnosis of diabetes, they usually come to the doctor and say, "Doctor, I feel my feet is burning, right? I feel like a hot needle coming inside my knee, my feet. I feel that something like hot water or boiled water was spilled on my feet. So why is that? You see here the nerve, blood vessels around it. Compare this with this. Here's the blood vessels becoming sclerosed and the nerves becoming thinner. Why? They are dying. The nerves are dying. Why they are dying? No enough blood. Once they die, they cause this sensation. Burning, needles, and okay, uncomfortable feet. Okay? So, and step by step. And then at the end, the patient comes like this. When he's like this, he doesn't feel his feet at all. One patient comes to the clinic with a nail inside his knee, he doesn't feel it. Why? Because there's no nerves. Why no nerves? No blood. Why no blood? Because of our food. And also other causes. Clear so far? Again, we're hoping the stem cells will regenerate these things. Genetic therapy, we're hoping in the future going to regenerate these things. Okay, all the previous things, the medications, the receptors, were discovered by non-Muslims, unfortunately. We hope this, in the future, will be discovered by Muslims. We hope so, inshallah. Okay. So these are the complications of diabetes. From head to toe, everything. Here, the stroke, the brain, and the eyes, they get caused diabetic retinopathy. Okay? And the heart, angina, infarction, heart failure. Okay? And the kidney, of course, the stroke, the kidney, diabetes, the stroke, of course, one of the known complications called nephropathy. Okay? Definitely. But first, it causes microalbuminuria, and the macro, and then end-stage renal disease. Then the patient depends on the machine to dialyze his blood. Okay? So Allah creates a wonderful kidney and we're destroying these kidneys. And we can't live, of course, without this kidney. If it's destroyed, you're going to die because it is the one responsible to remove your intoxicated blood. Okay? So without the kidneys, your blood becomes like somewhat garbage because the whole urine will circulate with your blood. Nothing can take out the urine, excess urine. So you have to depend on the dialysis. Okay? This dysfunction, as a consequence, autonomic neuropathy. This is the thing we talk about, the gastroparesis, the stomach, the intestines. Again, the peripheral neuropathies and amputation. This is the nerves. Of course, the wound starts with what? Simple wound. And the wound does not heal, so it becomes infected. And then again, it becomes more infected, so it becomes something called gangrene. At the stage of gangrene, what you have to do? Amputation. Clear so far? Piece by piece, diabetes. Okay. By the way, previous one. This is from the Medical Journal of Australia, which is a strong reference. Okay. Okay, now another thing. This is, sorry, not sugar. This is, let's say, soft drink. Okay? There's something called osteoporosis. We know osteoporosis, right? Huh? All of us know osteoporosis. Simply weak bones. Have anyone seen a patient with osteoporosis? How do they look? Especially at the end stages of osteoporosis. Some of them, they cough again and again. They develop root fracture from coughing. Okay? Just root fracture from coughing and sneezing. Come on guys, root fracture from coughing and sneezing because their bones become very soft. And once root fracture, you cannot breathe comfortably. It is so painful, root fracture, because a lot of nerves are out of the... so painful. So they really become...
They got to take a deep breath. Like this, impossible with her fracture. Because once you take a deep breath, your chest must be widened. You can't widen your chest without with this pain. Clear so far? Okay. Some of them, they just with minor just falling down, they will have fracture, hip fracture. Minor trauma, again hip fracture. Okay. I saw one patient. He developed multiple fracture: his ribs, his pelvis, his hands, and now he's on a wheelchair. All his bones are fractured. Cannot even his neck, cannot move it comfortably. Okay, on a wheelchair, cannot use the subway comfortably, cannot use the other transportations, he has to have a special way of transportations, he can't use his car, he can't. There is a saying in Arabic, they call it صحة تاج على رؤوس الأصحاء لا يرى إلا المرض. What does this mean? Means health is a crown on the heads of those who are healthy. Nobody sees this crown except the diseased person. We breathe normally and we don't have rib fractures. These patients wish to pay everything they have just to have normal bones. We walk normally without these fractures. They wish to have these lives, these kind of patients. Okay, why I brought this disease? This is not sugar, sorry. This is salty drinks in general. Okay, this is the blood, and this is the bone. When you drink the salty drink, okay, and we mentioned at the beginning, we order a king size, not small size, king size. And then once it's finished, we refill. And another refill. And before we leave, a fourth refill. Especially the children. This has a lot of phosphate. This phosphate goes with the blood. And then around the blood is the bone, right? So excessive phosphate means it has to absorb more calcium. Phosphate and calcium always must be normal in the blood. So high phosphate because of the salty drinks means more calcium from the bone. Means what? Weak bones. Because without calcium, the bones become weak, become soft. Comes just fibers. Okay? So this is one problem with the salty drinks. Next, please. Okay, just a second. See? This is how the spine, the vertebrae, how it makes our position direct. Like this. Got it? What was the position of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was frankly used to mention like I don't know hadith, but like his ribs were like straight, right? So that's why the spine. With osteoporosis, you have some pain and fracture. You have to lean down a little bit, okay? And then with more advanced disease, you can like this, okay? And this patient is around 50 or 60 years. Come on, guys, our grandparents, 50, 60, they were climbing trees. Not like this. Sahaba 60, 70, 80 years, they were fighting. They were secreting snuff. And now we're 50, 60 years, we have to walk by stuck. We can't walk normally. Okay? Yeah, because of what we mean, because of our style. Okay, next please. Okay, so this is the salted drink. We mentioned diabetes. How it causes. Yes. How to cause diabetes? By the receptor of mention and the excessive trade. How to cause osteoporosis? By the phosphate of mention. Dependence. This is another third thing. There is something they call it addiction, and there is something they call it dependence. What's the difference between them? An addict patient, when he's addicted to something, if he stops taking this, if we prevented him from taking this forcefully, he will develop something called withdrawal symptoms. So a patient, for example, who is addict to morphine, when we stop him from taking morphine, he will start having diarrhea, lacrimated eyes, and nausea, vomiting, okay, pains, depression, okay? And even if we neglected him from taking the morphine, he will die. This is addiction. When you stop, you will have physical symptoms.
Okay? This is addiction. What about dependence? When you stop the substance you're taking from dependence,
time for us,
right? You're going to finish it off? Finish it off.
Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay, 5 minutes.
So can Adhan, now the time for Adhan?
Adhan, no, Adhan time is a long time ago.
Oh.
But you want to finish it and quickly finish it.
Okay.
Yes. Or unless you want to do preparation.
Okay, let's finish this part and then the other part we can continue our search.
Huh? Okay, yeah. So just finish it, just finish it. How long is it going to be?
Well, what would you like? Would you like to finish now or just one? We've mentioned the problems. There's the one that's the solution, the most important thing. So, we need the solution, right?
That's what we're all waiting for.
Okay, so I think it's better to make it after Isha, a solution, okay? After a prayer Isha. Very fast, quickly. After Isha, 5-10 minutes, we'll do the solution and then we'll take questions. Okay?
We'll do the rest of it after Isha, or?
I just finish this part.
Okay, finish.
Just this part. Okay, now we mentioned dependence. What is dependence? Focus with me, please. Dependence, that it means if you didn't take this drug, you will not have withdrawal symptoms or problems. Your mood will be that. So a smoker, if we quit smoking from him, he will not die. But he will be so bad in his mood, right? If you talk with him, he will shout to you. This smoking. Okay. Now what about coffee? Some of us, he cannot work in the morning without coffee. Right? His mood will be bad. He's not addict, he's dependent on the coffee. Okay? So, it means that when he's dependent, he will not have any symptoms. This is why. Because dependence, these substances secrete a specific neurotransmitter in your brain, they call it dopamine. This gives you pleasure. So if you felt it one time, you don't want to lose it the next time. So you want to have it again and again. So this is the dependence, okay? And some of us, they say, I cannot work without a coffee in the morning, okay? There is one study, recent study, this last thing, you can mention. Recent study was taking two group of population. One of them, they do their daily activities without coffee. They don't need it. Some others, they cannot perform their morning activities without coffee. And they did a scanning to their brain, this specific scan. They called PET scan, P-E-T. Okay? This PET scan scans the active area of your brains. Okay? So they scanned the first population and they say that their brain is normally active without coffee. But they scanned the other population and they saw, without taking the coffee, their brain is so inactive. Just few areas are active. Okay? Then after they drank the coffee, their brain becomes as normal as the one who do not need any coffee. So some of us, they say, I need coffee to become active. You don't need coffee to become active. You take coffee to become normal. You cut it? So, you take coffee to go back to your normal side. Some of us, they think that coffee activates us. It makes us more active and can perform more work. No. Coffee just takes you back to your normal brain activity. Okay? So, these dependent substances, better to be away from them, okay, and depend on your God. Don't depend on these things. Okay? Why I brought this point here? Because soft drinks do the same thing. They have excessive sugar, they secrete dopamine so that you become dependent on it. So they've taken us by the science. Right? Yeah. These factors, they've taken us by the science. They've brought something to make you pleasure so that you become dependent, you have to buy it every day. Every day. Okay? So this is dependence. And we've mentioned in the beginning the sugar addiction, the same thing that it does. It's soft drinks. Okay, I think enough for the sugar. We've mentioned the fat and sugar. After actual prayer, inshallah, we're going to have questions and the solution quickly. Okay, thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
This one I need. Can you take it from here? Yeah, just take out the pros. Take it out? Yeah, take it out. Just keep it. You need this one. I need it. Where is the lens?
سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Thank you.
Thank you.
Allah, we continue our brothers. Sorry for taking a long time, but I hope we are enjoying and taking benefits. One of our great teachers, alhamdulillah American, but alhamdulillah Muslim, he was saying in the class, if you want to get benefits, you have to enjoy. So I hope we are enjoying, right? So I always, when I give presentations, I try to make it more enjoyable so that we understand. Okay, so we start the stroke subjects. I think we covered it, alhamdulillah. But deeply, it needs its own lecture. So now we're just thinking about the sugar and the phosphate sign, just a couple of things. Okay, yes.
Okay, now the excessive amount of protein.
We spoke about the sugar, fats, and now protein just quickly. Because almost the same thing will happen. Of course, the protein is very important. Nobody can live without protein, but it needs to be in a normal amount. Consequences of excessive amount of protein, first of all, atherosclerosis, the same process that we've mentioned in the beginning about the deposition of the fats will occur in the blood vessel, the same thing, because excessive protein will be converted to fat, and then the same process will happen again. And then this creates an increase in blood acidity. This is also a big problem. So you're going to leave it now because it needs more explanation. Here, calcium absorption from the bones. So the same thing as with the phosphate and with the soft drinks. So the excessive protein, if you consume more protein that you need, again, it will absorb calcium. So you become more prone to osteoporosis and to fractures, okay? This excessive calcium should be removed by what? By the kidney, right? So you'll be more at risk to develop calcium stones. You know calcium stones? You know renal stones, renal colic? These patients, they need aggressive analgesia. Yeah, painkillers. Not any painkiller. Doesn't work with them. They need sometimes morphine to subside their pain. So this is excessive protein as a risk. And of course, some genetic causes, we're not gonna discuss them. Kidney damage, untreated and neglected calcium stones will cause kidney damage, of course, and renal failure, and the same process that we mentioned at the beginning, gout. What, anyone knows what's gout? Gout, come on guys. Sorry?
Is it a build
of
calcium?
No. Gout.
Stones?
What is it in Arabic? Anyone knows it in Arabic? Huh? In Arabic, gout. Arabic. They call it the disease of the kings.
Stones.
Sorry?
Sorry, feet.
No, big. Da al-muluk.
Stomach.
No, al-naqas. This is simply deposition of this excessive amount of protein, they are converted by the liver to something called uric acid. This uric acid deposits when it is excessive on the joints. Okay, so it causes severe pain. Even and the most important joint that is affected is the big toe. Usually, patients with gout, they say, "Doctor, I have severe pain in my big toe. I cannot tolerate it. Even a blanket while I'm sleeping, I cannot put a blanket on my toe." This is Da al-Muluk, disease of kings. Because they eat more meat, because meats are more available for kings, right? And I mean for rich people. But now everyone is eating these things, so everyone is developing these diseases. Again, gout needs high analgesia to cover these pains. So as we said, they call it what? Da al-Muluk. The disease of kings. I think it is well known, this disease, right? It's well known. Okay, so I know the reference for this is important, this is the reference for the Washington DC Academic Journal. Okay, now the solution. What is the solution? Just the protein we mentioned just quickly. Before we start the solution, what is the problem? Yeah? What's the problem? The problem, simply, we're following this. Yeah, this is simply the problem. We're following this, okay? So we're eating excessive amounts of fats, excessive amount of sugar, excessive amount of protein,
less amount of fibers, less amount of fruits, vegetables, less amount of antioxidants. So we are eating diseasing things and we are neglecting healthier things. So we are developing these diseases. And how to be healthy, next please. Just follow this, it's very important. Why? Here they have so many antioxidants. These antioxidants, they guard against cancer, they guard against diabetes, hypertension, and they have fibers. These fibers important to decrease the risk of colon cancer, to decrease the risk of diabetes, and I'm gonna see how they prove these things. And to eat this for less amount, why? Because these are the things that we are causing these diseases, okay? Of course, in addition to the genetic predisposition, but we're concerning mainly the food risk factors. And in addition to this, and before this, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he say? Now, after we saw these diseases, we should remember the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said, بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمْ لُقَيْمَاتْ يَقُمْنَ بِهِ صُلْبًا. Yet what does this mean? It's enough for the human being just to have small pieces of food so that he can what? Function. So that he can work. So you don't eat to kill yourself. You don't eat to disease yourself. The Prophet ﷺ was saying, you eat to work, to worship, to walk, to pray, to do your daily activities, right? So this is the hadith of Muhammad ﷺ. It's enough for you, just simple, small amount of food, so you can function. And then the continuation of the hadith of Muhammad ﷺ said, if someone wants to eat, has appetite, he wants to eat, then third for your food. Second third for your drink. The last third for your breathing, right? Isn't that so? So it's not just your tongue, his tongue wants to breathe. It's your heart wants to breathe also. Isn't that so? But we are clogging our heart with these lipids. So we're killing our heart. Your brain also wants to breathe. This third is for your whole body to breathe, right? So your brain wants to breathe, but we're clogging our brain and causing stroke. I mentioned in the example, if we took anyone and clipped his artery. Anyone can do this? Possible. You do it by yourself. You clog your own arteries by these. Okay? So, this is the first thing. Your whole body wants to breathe by this third, the last third of it. So, the most important thing is to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. And I'm arranging with Mawlana Zakaria, if I have time, inshallah, going to mention the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad and the Sunnah, how they benefit us. We don't feel these things. How one study mentioned, let me say at the end of the lecture, how tahajjud, salat al-fajr, fasting, protect against these things. At that end, inshallah. Okay, next. So the solution is to follow the Prophet Muhammad. Follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eat balanced food. Okay? Balanced food. And add water, you have, this is the most that you have to eat, the top, the most you have to decrease. Now, what's the benefits of the whole brain, or the brown brain, and the vegetables and fruits? Okay? I don't know why the brain there is white and brain and brown. Why there is a processed? I don't feel any difference in their taste. I don't know why. Why anyone has any philosophic reason? I don't know why actually. We're gonna see the difference between them now. Continue, please. The whole grain or the whole grain and this. One by one. Okay. This is high fiber diet. Okay. This is strongly referenced. This is the first thing. Let me read through because the so small my phone. Okay. So increase the first benefit of the whole grain. Okay, this is why I'm saying the solution, you have to follow this food pyramid, the healthy one. Let's see the benefits. First of all, increase the food volume without easing caloric content. What does this mean? Next, please. This will decrease the appetite, okay, so that you don't eat more. Why is that? Because they fill your stomach with healthy fibers. They fill your stomach
and they take out the excessive things that you don't need. Okay, let's see how this happens. Okay, again, it makes if your belly, the content of your belly is more viscous. What's the function of this? What's the benefit? It's lower the barriers of blood sugar, decrease the risk of diabetes. Because we mentioned the physiology of diabetes is what? Excessive sugar, excessive insulin, more pressure on the receptor. So increase the risk of diabetes. Decrease sugar, the whole grade, and the whole the brown grade. Okay? Very important benefits. Okay. The third one. It lowers the LDL, of course. LDL is the bad lipid that deposits on the blood vessels and the cholesterol. So this will decrease the risk of stroke and heart failure and heart attacks, of course. It's very important to because these lipids. Okay, next. So this will reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease, of course. Isn't that so? It's logical. Strokes and cardiovascular diseases. Okay, it will regulate the sugar. Same thing. It will benefit the diabetes. Okay, so it will reduce the glucose, insulin, so for diabetics and non-diabetics. Both of them will benefit. Okay? Okay, next. Next. Okay. It will speed the passage of the food. What's the benefit of this? Next. It will facilitate the regurgitation. So this guard against constipation, very important. A lot of us are suffering from something called irritable bowel syndrome. So this is, I think, the most widely diseased prevalence in the whole world, especially in the first and second world countries. Okay, irritable bowel syndrome. They feel constipated. They feel diarrhea at the same time. And then they feel pain, and they feel their abdomen is swollen, and they don't feel comfortable until they go to the bathroom and they evacuate. Okay? This is irritable bowel syndrome. And the first advice the doctor will give to this patient is what? Eat whole fiber diet. Simple. Okay? So here, it activates the facilitated regular medication and elevates constipation. Okay? Now, let's see the resource for this information. Because, you know, medicine is the most important and the most common field to be always updated. So whenever you see any information, they will tell you what is your reference. You cannot say things from your mind, right? So next, please, you're saying the reference for these things, important things. This is a website in medicine, and they call it the PubMed, PubMed.com. This is the strongest evidence-based medicine website in the internet. The strongest one. Okay? They call it the PubMed. These information are from the PubMed. So when you say my reference is the PubMed, everyone will stop talking. Okay? This is the strongest evidence-based medicine in the website. Okay, let's see. Continue. Next. That's it. Okay. Dietary fibers. Okay, significantly lowers the risk for what? Developing, first of all, coronary heart disease. So, heart failure and heart and this and the infarction. Stroke. Okay, hypertension. Next, diabetes. Okay, but we don't eat these things. We eat it for children. Right? Next, the obesity. Okay, gastrointestinal disease, the most important one is irritable bowel syndrome. Okay? So all of them are reduced and by whole fibers. Okay, this fibers, where does it exist? In the whole grain, the brown grain, highly available in the vegetables and fruits, highly available. Okay, which are the least things that we consume per day. And then, so this also decreases the cholesterol level. This will. For non-diabetic or diabetic patients, will decrease the glucose level, okay? And of course, for weight loss. Okay, next. Okay, and then they benefit both children and adults. The problem that these people, they eat this kind of food, okay? So these are the most important against diabetes, stroke, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and gastrointestinal diseases, the constipation and the other things. Okay, next please. Okay, now about the vitamins. Okay, the vitamins, the main source of vitamins are vegetables and fruits, and the whole grain as well. So, we mentioned the bottom of the pyramid is what? fruits, vegetables, and whole grain fibers from the carbohydrates, right? Okay, what are the benefits of them? First of all, the fibers and the vitamins, okay? The vitamins has something called antioxidant, very important. Antioxidant, it prevents cancer and they prevent the other diseases. Okay, the most important antioxidant is vitamin A, vitamin C, and vitamin A, vitamin E. Vitamin A actually is the strongest one. In some books, they call vitamin E is the antioxidant vitamin. Okay, and again, they present in the vegetables and fruits. Okay, all of these are antioxidants. Okay, they should benefit the heart, all of them. They decrease the risk of coronary artery disease and the heart failure and the heart attacks. Okay, so now we're going to talk about this one, about the heart, how the vitamins benefit the heart. Now, another vitamin, vitamin folate and B12, okay? The study showed that deficiencies in these vitamins, B, they will increase the level of what? Homocysteine, okay? Homocysteine is an important amino acid, okay? That has been associated with what? High risk of heart disease, okay? Stroke and heart failure as well. And the reference for this is the University of, America. So, it's a strong reference as well. Here, niacin, vitamin B3, they used for improving unhealthy cholesterol. So, they unhealthy cholesterol is the one LDL, the one depositing that we mentioned at the beginning. Okay, they prevent this this cholesterol. Okay, next please. So, this is about the heart. Now, about the stroke and the brain. Healthy diet rich in fruits and vegetables and low in salt and saturated fats may significantly reduce the risk of first stroke. Okay, this is it. And the benefits of these foods on the brain. Okay, next. Cancer. Many fresh fruits and vegetables contain chemicals that may fight many cancers, including breast, colon, and prostate. What is the physiology and pathophysiology of this? Anyone can remind me, please. I need participation. Come on, guys. We mentioned this in the beginning. This is the cycle. Right. Yeah. How important gene that we mentioned?
The P53.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. So simply, the excessive fat destruct the P53. These fats and these vegetables and fruits, they protect this gene. Okay. So they prevent breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer. Okay. Next, please. So this is about cancer. Now, Alzheimer's disease. Vitamin E. Let's see. Some reports, including large 2002 population study, have suggested that vitamin E intake from food or supplements may protect against mental decline. Mental decline, anything can cause any reason of mental decline. Alzheimer, old age, advanced age, vitamin E and these vitamins, they decrease this risk. Okay? Next. This is Alzheimer. Eye disorders. Lower levels of vitamin C in the lens have been particularly strong predictor for cataracts. You know cataract? Huh? Cataract. You know what is cataract? It's simply, in the lens. The problem is in the lens of the eye. They call it Al-Moya Bayba in Arabic. Okay? Simply, the lens has to be transparent so that the light can go inside the retina to reflect the image that you see. So once the lens becomes opaque and dense, the light can't come in anymore. And then you become blind. Why is that? Because the light can't come to reach the retina. Okay? So that's the, for this reason, you become blind. And they said that vitamin C, low vitamin C increased the risk of this the cataract, and also they are commonly these patients deficient in vitamin A. Vitamin A is very important for the eye. The main source of vitamin A is the carrots. Of course, other vegetables, green vegetables. Okay. By the way, the treatment of cataract is has good prognosis. It's just a simple surgery. They replace this lens. They put an artificial lens that's transparent so the light can come again. So then the patient can see. So it's good to understand the physiology, the pathophysiology of the diseases. If you understand the mechanism of the disease, you can treat it properly. If you don't understand the mechanism of the disease, you don't know how to treat. Okay. So, again, infectious diseases, we commonly get flu. We commonly get common cold. Vitamin C have proven that decrease the risk of respiratory tract infection. Okay. Actually, the study mentioned that it may benefit some population and some other population may not benefit. But at the end, when you receive vitamin C, either you're going to benefit or you're not going to be harmed. You get it? So there is no harm from these from these vitamins and from the vegetables and from the fruit. Next, please. Osteoporosis. And you mentioned the light osteoporosis. Vitamin D, combination of calcium and vitamin D, sorry, can reduce the risk of osteoporosis. Menstrual disorder, this is in women. Vitamin B6 decreases menstrual disorder when they seize their menses. Okay, next please. Okay, now the conclusion, we're almost finished. It's your choice. Nobody can, you're free, it's freedom, nobody can force you, you can follow whatever you want, you can follow the reverse food pyramid, and then don't blame anyone when you get these diseases. You can follow this healthy food pyramid, alhamdulillah, before this food pyramid is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will protect you. One of the ulama, he was very old in age, and he was more active and more strong than his young students. They were asking him, how you are strong more than us, and you are so old? He said, we protected our organs when we were young by Allah, and then Allah protected our organs when we became old. Get the point? SubhanAllah. حَفِظَنَا بِالصِّغَرْ فَحَفِظَهَا رَبَّنَا بِالْكِبْرِ. As they say in Arabic. Okay, so this is the conclusion. Sorry for taking your long time. I appreciate your assistance. Before we end and before we have the questions, I want to see to watch the video I mentioned. How we would like to go beside our body and see the... Yes, yes. Go. Yes. Yes. Also, I see. Now focus on me, please. We're going to see now how these lipids deposit and destruct us, okay? It's wonderful. Okay, focus with me.
We're going to see still, it's okay.
Now, this is our body. You see? These are the blood vessels, you see? The red ones are the arteries, and the blue one are the veins. The stroke and the problems are more in the arteries, the red ones. Here's the heart. Pumping and functioning, subhanAllah, we're going to go inside the heart and inside the blood vessel, and we're going to see how these bad things destruct us. Here's subhanAllah, these blood vessels, how complicated they are. Okay, now we're inside the blood vessel. These are the cells inside the blood vessel. So many types of cells. This is called white blood cells. Okay, white blood cells. Stop, please. If someone is deficient with blood, white blood cells, what disease he has?
Leukemia.
No, not leukemia. Leukemia is excessive WBCs. Leukemia actual tumor of WBCs. Huh?
Cancer?
No, not cancer.
HIV.
Thank you. Exactly. HIV, AIDS. WBCs has so many types. One of them is called lymphocyte. Lymphocyte, there's two types. B and T lymphocyte. HIV simply goes and destructs the T lymphocyte. It doesn't kill you, HIV. HIV just kills the T lymphocytes. Once the T lymphocytes is destructed, you have no immune system. All infectious disease will come inside you and kill you. So HIV will not kill you. The problem is there's no deadly disease. Okay, continue please. Okay, now we are inside the blood vessel. How you see how the pressure is forcing the RBCs and WBCs, this is the cholesterol, the yellow one, and we're going to see how this excessive one, it goes inside the wall of the blood vessel and decrease the lumen and decrease the size of the blood vessel and how it causes this stroke. Okay, here's the blood vessel. Can you see? And the pressure of the blood, how it goes, okay? It has three layers, okay? One layer, second layer, third layer. Each one of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it perfectly, okay, so it does its function. So it can pump the blood. So it can give enough amount of blood for your brain, for your heart, for your focus. Okay? These risk factors, smoking, blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, what they're going to do, they're going to go inside. You see, these are the cholesterol and the lipids. They go inside the blood vessel, the wall of the blood vessel. Okay, now focus with me. What's going to happen inside the blood? See, this is one type of devil we see. It goes inside. When it sees this cholesterol goes in inside the wall, and they engulf these lipids inside the wall of the blood vessel. Okay, this process, you see, makes the lumen smaller, okay, because it elevates the wall. You can see now, you see, it is a margin, which it shouldn't be. You see how it enlarges? SubhanAllah, lipids, diabetes, hypertension, Pizza Hut, Burger King, Pepsi, other things, destructing us, killing us. See? Now again, the blood is moving, and this is going more. You're neglecting yourself. You didn't have symptoms until now. Yeah, until now you didn't have symptoms. Until 50%, until 70% of your lumen, you don't have any symptoms. Now probably you're gonna have angina. Probably, yeah, now 75%. Now this stage of angina, okay? There's no enough blood for the brain, to the heart, okay? Okay, now with time, when you neglect even your medications, the pressure will go, this wall will be hard. Now once it's hard, it can be damaged. And once it's damaged, it's just like an internal wound. The platelets, they don't differentiate whether it's external or internal, they're going to clog this wound, okay? So you see the pressure is moving it, making like shaking. Now it's destructive. Now the platelets, they come and they clog the whole thing. Now you have stroke or myocardial infarction. You see how we kill ourselves? So depending on the location of this process, you will have the symptoms. If this process happens in the brain, then you're gonna have stroke. If this process is going to happen in your heart, then you have myocardial infarction and heart failure. If this process happens in your legs, then you have something called claudication, and sometimes limb ischemia, and you need an amputation. So if it is in the brain, it's in the heart. So,
okay, that's it.
So I hope you enjoyed this very demonstrating. You see the advance of the technology, alhamdulillah, how it made these things so facilitating. Okay, again, thank you very much for your listening, and I hope you enjoyed, and I hope you got benefit. Before anything, I hope you got benefit, and may Allah reward us and accept from us. And now the time for questions. If anyone has any question, any comments, before question? Can I start questions? Okay, yes, questions. And please, the sisters, if they have questions or something, can we give them a phone microphone or something?
Or maybe.
Or writing. Because we don't want to neglect them. Great sister, they grow great men. Half of the generation is sister. So if any sister please has a question, write it down, please. Yes, let's start with them. Questions. Yes, please.
If your vessels are clogged, right?
Yes.
And then you stop eating those bad foods.
Do you want me to give you a phone so that anyone, all of us here, the question?
If your vessels are clogged and then you stop eating those bad foods in time, can that get better or just stay the same and won't get worse?
Yeah, good. Okay, so I hope the question is clear. Simply the question is would this process be regenerated or not? With this process, when we make tawbah, isn't that so? When we make tawbah with our food, is it going to reverse these things? Of course, definitely. Tawbah is in addition that Allah deletes your senses, you get benefit, or also your body gets benefit. There is also studies proving that quitting smoking within, I think, continuously 1 year or 2 years, decrease the risk of your smoking of the coronary heart disease to 50% or something like that. So of course, definitely. But you're not going to be as healthy as the normal, as the healthier one from the beginning. But definitely you're gonna have benefits. Just a minute, please.
The one that's causing this problem is the bad cholesterol, they call it LDL. The one that is present in the vegetables, another thing called HDL. HDL reverses this process and does antioxidation to these blood vessels, clotted blood vessels, and improves the circulation, definitely. So you have any more questions?
So if you have 50% blockage, you could get down to zero in time.
I don't know if it's zero.
Not zero, but you can reduce.
Reduce, yes, by HDL, definitely. Okay, yes. Can you come closer? Anyone has a question closer, please, because I'm going to hear a question.
Dr. Lalan, I would have agreed with you up to about 20 years ago.
Sorry?
I would have agreed with you up to about 20 years ago that we do have a choice. And you were explaining at the bottom of the pyramid there that more of those foods that we eat, you know, the healthier we will be. But one of the debates that's been prevalent, let's say here in the last 20 years, would be the advent of genetically modified foods. So now those same foods I did suggest that we eat, like corn, and you know, all those vegetables, potatoes, but they're all genetically modified. And other studies have been made that we find that, you know, that they have adverse effects on various organs of the body. So would you suggest that we move towards eating organic foods?
What do you mean by organic food?
Well, it's kind of like the same thing you mentioned earlier about those who are, you know, on caffeine. You know, we drink coffee in order to get activated. What you're saying is that, you know,
you're going back, normal,
going back to normal.
Yeah.
Well, organic is more or less the same way. I would presume.
Excellent question. Thank you very much. Excellent question. I think Mwana Zakaria, he just told me, just came from Zambia. He said that first time for me to eat fresh eggs,
natural food. Yeah.
Natural food. Yes, you're correct. He's correct. Our food is processed, even the vegetables and fruits processed. But I don't know what's the solution. Do we have fresh food, vegetables? If you have fresh things that are not hormonally mediated and processed, of course, much better. Of course, definitely. These things that has chemical administrations and has some added hormones, well, definitely they have some side effects. But this does not prevent you from eating vegetables and fruits, because what is the solution? Where can you go to? There's no other source than that. So I don't know. There's other source that is purely fresh here, especially in the first and second world countries, because we buy our fruits from the store. And most of the fruits in the store,
they do have organic, he's saying. They do have organic food, meaning that it's not, you don't have chemical stuff.
If there is, of course, it's much better.
It's more expensive.
Okay, it's more expensive. Yeah. There is organic food, yes, of course, then it would be much better.
But there's also a movement here in the West as well to buy locally within 100 miles of wherever you live. And you know, instead of buying from Walmart, instead of buying from the Loblaws, start buying locally. So there's a lot of new
farms. Like, you mean fresh farms?
Yeah, new farms that are being owned by.
Okay. Well, yeah, of course. But I don't know, these farms, I think they use some chemicals to grow up their fruits, vegetables. I don't know, actually. But of course, if there is an alternative, purely fresh, it's definitely much better than processed ones. Okay, any other question? And the females?
I have one question.
Yes.
When I was in Africa right now, somebody said once a week, if you just have vegetable, once a week, it flushes out your whole system, cleans out your whole system. Is that true?
Actually, I don't know about the duration. It's once a week. It's enough.
Just vegetable, the whole day. Nothing but vegetables. You said it flushes out the whole system.
For 1 week, every day?
No. Yeah. Once a week.
Once a week.
If a person has just vegetables.
Ah, okay.
The whole day.
So he's vegetarian for 1 week, you mean?
Yeah, one day.
One day?
1 day a week.
Oh, yeah. I don't know, actually. If it really flushes the whole system out. But, of course, I think vegetarians are more healthier than non-vegetarians. Yeah. But not purely vegetarians, because, as I mentioned, these animal food is put on the top of the pyramid, so it means you need to eat them, but in less amount, because they have some essential amino acids that are not present in the vegetarian protein.
So you need them to build your body, especially for those who are still in the adult stage and their body is being developed. They need this amount of food, but to less amount. And then you have to lower it once you are in the 30s, around the 30s, 25, then you have to lower these kind of foods. Because mostly, 25, your body has been developed, okay? So now you need to maintenance level, okay? Not growing, but maintenance level. So, yes, about this, it flushes within one day, I don't know actually, but I think that it has benefits. And as I said, vegetarians, yes, are healthier, but not purely vegetarian for a long time. It's good to eat these animal proteins once a week, three times a week, okay? I think even once a month is enough, I think, for those who are adults. Not adults. Once a month, I think it's enough meat, chickens. Okay? Sir, another question?
Well, I
have
a question about the
same
question.
You
want something?
Okay. Thank you. Any other question, please?
You just told us to remind you about the. You mentioned something about the front of the brain.
Yeah.
The front part of the brain.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al Alaq about Abu Jahl, كَلَّا لَهِنَّ مِنْتَهِينَ اسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَةِ. And he described Nasiya. Nasiyatin kadibatin khatiyah. Okay, what is the translation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Abu Jahl, he did not stop making bad things to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa. What is the nasiya? It's the frontal loop. It's the frontal part of your head or your brain. Okay? So, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the frontal loop as it is lying. Nasiyatin kadiba, right? Kadiba means lying. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the part of the brain that's responsible for lying is the frontal lobe. This is what they discovered. Planning, concentration, making decisions, all of them, these things are made by the frontal lobe. So the frontal lobe is the one responsible for differentiating between a person and a person. Personality mainly exists in the frontal lobe. The decisions mainly made by the frontal lobe. Actually, subhanAllah, one differentiates between human and animals in the frontal lobe. Because they have decision, they have thinking, they have language, they have brain, mind. Okay? So this is what the frontal lobe. And also, I told you to remind me about Salat al-Tahajjud, right? Yeah, Salat al-Tahajjud. What's the benefit? Salat al-Fajr, fasting. What's the benefit? SubhanAllah. You know, the process that we saw in the video and the deposition, what time does it occur? It occurs when you sleep and your circulation of your blood circulation comes down to 50. What does it mean, 50? Normally, your heartbeat is 60 to 90. This is normally 60 beats per minute to 90 beats per minute. When it becomes less than 60, they call it bradycardia. Okay? Bradycardia means that the circulation becomes slow, the heartbeats become slow. This gives the lipid a good chance to go inside the wall of the blood vessels. This usually happens when you sleep at the 4th, 5th, 6th hour. This process starts to happen. So what is the solution? How can you increase your circulation while you're sleeping? You can't do it. You have to wake up. At the end of the night, you have to wake up. And this is what they one study I've read in Arabic, I don't know if they have published it or not. They're saying it's very healthier for you to prevent heart attacks and the lipid deposition if you, listen to what they mentioned, if you wake up at the mid of the night and you wash your face, your feet, your hands, and then you do simple exercise and go to bed. How are you just describing and praying? Isn't that so? They, as tahajjud, they said, wake up in the midnight, this is time for tahajjud, and wash your face, this is wudu, right? And then do simple exercise, this is praying. Then go back to sleep. This is what the life of Prophet Muhammad, right? He was sleeping in the early night, midnight he wakes up, he does wudu, praying, and he goes back to sleep, tahajjud praying. There is one study from Jordan. They published in their own journal, I don't know if it's identified internationally or not. They said that anyone prays Fajr prayer at time, every day for his life, has very low risk to develop coronary artery disease. Why is that? Because there is no chance for these lipids to go and deposit. SubhanAllah, there's benefits of tahajjud, Fajr at time prayer. Okay? But we are sleeping 12 hours. Fajr prayer when we wake up. Tahajjud, this is something else. So, actually, one hadith, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, regarding tahajjud. عند أرض المحشر يوم القيامة قبل أن يبدأ الحساب ينادي مناد قوم معينين يناديهم القوم هؤلاء يدخلون الجنة بغير حساب ولا عذاب. الصحابة أسأل الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هو أرخيص رضي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسير هم الذين تتجافى جنوبهم عن المضاجع. With the translation, before the day of judgment, before the
reckoning.
Yeah, before the hisab starts for each person, there is one come and calls specific persons to go to the Jannah without hisab, without a punishment, without anything. Immediately go to the Jannah. Ashab asked the Prophet Muhammad, who are these? The Prophet Muhammad said, those who cannot sleep because they are thinking about tahajjud. Yeah, they don't, even when they are sleeping, they wake up. What time is it? That's now. What time is it? Just half hour. This is the time for midnight. Now, time of tahajjud, immediately he wakes up. Now, this person, Yawm Qiyamah, one comes and calls him, go to the Jannah immediately. Yeah, no need for punishment, no need for himself, no need for anything. So I hear about from the Prophet about the hatred. It's just the hatred. What about Fajr prayer? Much appreciated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the hatred prayer. Isn't that so? Now this is about the hatred and Fajr. It's about fasting. That whenever they go to fasting, there are miracle things. But I didn't read the mechanism of them, because most of these researchers are done by Muslims. Muslims, they don't have the facilities to do the mechanism and these things, and to research about them as it is present here. That's why I'm applying for here. The research is much, much advanced than there. And the study that they described about fasting, they concluded, but I don't know about the mechanism, as I said, that fasting prevents against cancer, fasting prevents against coronary heart disease, against stroke, against so many diseases. How's the process of this? They describe, but I'm not sure if it's correct or not, that it gives the body a break to regenerate. Because when you eat in your entire life, without giving your life, your body a break, there's no time for the cells to regenerate, to give new cells. Okay? But when you fast, the body takes a break so that it kills any abnormal cells. Abnormal cells like cancer cells. The body kills it by a process called apoptosis. Okay? So, and regenerate new cells so that they function normally and they don't have the risk of these diseases. So these are the benefits of fasting, subhanAllah. Benefits of the hatred. Benefits of salat hatred. So first of all, following the rules of the Prophet. Another study, walking to the masjid every day, 5 times, guarding against osteoporosis. And this is logical, because you're walking every day. And the more stress is on your bones, the more strong they are. So when you walk every day, 5 times, this is chronic. It means that you are every day doing this for a long time, this will benefit. And what's the hadith and the evidence from the Prophet ﷺ? The Mawla Zakariya told me this morning, قَلِيلٌ دَاهُمْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٌ مُقَطَعٌ. What does this mean? Few things for a long time is better than big thing for a short time. What they do here,
And what we are following them, unfortunately, we do big things for short time. So we do head exercise once a week, twice a week, three times maximum. But if you walk every day for years and years, and every day you walk five times, this is chronic. This is really few, but for a long time, for years and years. Got it?
Thank you very much. Jazakallah khair ala nasu istima. At the end, we say the hadith of the Prophet anytime he wants to end his majlis, he used to say, Subhanallah wa hamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Thank you very much for listening. Sorry for taking a long time. Have dua. Sisters, they do have a question. Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وأصلح ذات بينهم واهدهم سبل السلام وجنبهم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا كربا إلا نفسته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والسلامة والعافية لنا ولكافة المسلمين عامة يا رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رحمن